Welcome to The Wheel Reads, a Wheel of Time podcast. Your hosts are Alan, Chris, and Ian. This podcast is safe for first-time readers with no spoilers. This week, we'll be covering chapters 11 and 12 of A Crown of Swords, An Oath, and A Morning of Victory. Enjoy!
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, welcome to season 7, episode 6.
Yeah,
moving right along.
Greetings.
Greetings and salutations. So before we get into anything else, I do want to give a quick shout out to our new patron. We do have one new patron. So Michelle, thank you.
Michelle. Woo! This episode's for you, Michelle.
This
bud's for you. I thought about
your buds for the ladies.
Just for good old time's sake.
Then I said, 151.
150. Ooh.
Goosling. Mm.
Danger.
I'm drinking a Truly, which is basically like drinking TV static and someone yells the fruit name from another room, right? That's
Yeah.
That's
the best description ever.
It's the best description. Drink a TV static.
I've got a cheap box wine.
Oh, nice. I thought about drinking wine tonight, but yeah. I drank with dinner because we had a friend over for dinner. Our next door neighbor came over, so I didn't want to open a bottle of wine because he wasn't drinking and just drink like half the bottle in front of him. So I just had a beer.
Yeah, that was my compromise.
So I was like, I'm not going to open a bottle of wine now. So that's it. Yeah, so other announcements, other things going on. We do have a special guest coming, not next week, but the week after. We're going to record on a Monday, the 30th.
Monday.
It's going to be a little bit of a later recording. It's going to be a 10 o'clock recording because they got to get their kiddos to bed. And if you listen to the post scene, I guess the credits or whatever you want to call it, the wrap up of the last episode, you know who it is, but I'll announce it now. And 2 weeks we have the Wheel Weaves, Danny and Brett, coming on to help us out. So it's going to be the Wheel Reads and the Wheel Weaves in one epic night of shenanigans.
Nice
shenanigans.
We're going to bring the house down.
It's going to be fun. So that's in 2 weeks. So yeah, excited about that. Wad of Fortune next game is going to be the second week of February. So that's still a ways away. Yeah. So nothing really new. I think on Thursday, we're going to record Cosmere stuff.
Oh, yeah.
This Thursday?
Yeah.
Does that work?
Are you still available?
What time?
Like 9 o'clock? 9:30?
Yeah. What the hell?
Okay, cool.
All the way up to the end of chapter 30.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep. I'm ready.
Of Warbreaker. So yeah, if you into Cosmere stuff, we're going to be covering the first half of Warbreaker on Thursday, recording that.
Is it really a half though? That's like a quarter?
About 60 chapters total in the book. So
I never paid any
attention. Prepared to feed me names, because I know there's not a lot, but a couple of them I got, but I did the old school version of just like, in my mind, I have made up names for the characters.
Instead of I have God one and God two. Yeah. I have the detective god and the god with boobs and
yeah.
Nice.
Sister one, yeah, sister two.
This goddess with boobs. The cheeky sister and the
staring
one.
Yep. All right. So that's Thursday, and that's it for content coming up. That and lots of TV shows I'm watching right now. But so personal life, I'm watching a lot of TV because there's a lot of stuff that's come out. I have not started Last of Us yet. I've heard it's good.
It's great.
That soon. I'm watching a show that no one watches anymore, but I just need, it's the final season, so I have to watch it.
Oh yeah, you gotta finish it.
It's Walking Dead, which I started years and years and years ago. And I gave up on it, but I still, like, every time it comes out, I'm like, I'm not going to do it anymore. I don't really like the show. I was like, all right, I'll just muscle through. And it's, at this point, it's a stubborn thing.
Yeah. I gave up on it, but
yeah. Yeah. Well, they have the final season. Fill me in. So yeah, I'm watching their stream on stream services. Cause I didn't want to watch it when it came out. Just wait for the streaming service. Anyway. So yeah. Yeah, that's fun. After that, I'll get starting The Last of Us. I might stop halfway through and watch Last of Us instead. Anything else going on in my personal world? We had a long weekend for Martin Luther King Day. So I did tons of chores around the house. You know, I would say I went to Bed Bath Beyond, but they're like kind of going out of business. So I didn't go to Bed Bath Beyond.
Yeah.
Did not do that. So that's it. Just working on stuff around the house. Nothing really exciting. I have nothing going on in my world exciting. I took my kids to Chuck E. Cheese's for the first time.
Well, slippery slope.
Don't
repeat that.
Yeah. Not a good decision. I remember it sounded more glamorous when I was a kid.
Well, it probably seems awesome to them, but if you do it often enough, your kids are just going to stay sick.
Oh, yeah.
It's just a breeding ground for germs.
Dirty gross. And half the machines are broken. And I was like, this is just kind of ghetto.
And if you hold your cup of coins too low, other kids that are not your kids will just run up and take coins out of there.
Oh, they don't do coins anymore.
Oh, really?
It's cards. So it all goes in your card.
Okay. Yeah. That's how long it's been since I've been there.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't even know either. I was like, yeah, there'll be like games and stuff. And like, I was like, this is really like half things are broken. And yeah. Okay, cool.
Did you let your kids beat up Chucky? Did Chucky?
Chucky wasn't there. No.
I used to love fighting Chucky.
Yeah. And then they wanted one of the cheap toys you can buy, you know, from the little gift shop area. That's like, you know, $40 for a plastic toy that'll break. And like, if you look at it funny. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, no. Nah.
Oh, you're building memories.
I'm not going to buy that for you. Sorry.
That's a core memory for your kids now.
Yeah. That'll be the last time that probably will go there. So anyway.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all I got.
Well, cool. I don't have anything too exciting. Rewatching Game of Thrones because Meredith hasn't seen it. I was telling the boys before we started recording, though, I messed up. She fell asleep early in one episode one night, and I was in insomniac mode. Anyways, I'm two seasons ahead of her now. So, like, I'm rewatching it again myself, but then also as she wants to, going back and rewatching where she's at. So I'm really getting into Game of Thrones again. I'm excited to get into the second season of that Viking show. Valhalla? Yeah. The first season, I really enjoyed. So the next season just dropped. So I'm going to get into that, if not tonight, tomorrow night. Work update on getting paid. You know, we're still going since November 15th. Supposedly I get paid this Friday, but I haven't seen a, like, normally the LES, the leave and earning statement post by now, and I haven't seen mine yet. So this will be interesting. This will be interesting if they still don't have that figured out and I don't get paid Friday. Like, we're going to start pawning stuff for gas money, you know? I got 50 miles each way for the commute. And the only real complaint I'll have is this commute is killing me. This lower back thing and being in the car.
Yeah, I can imagine. Actually, that would be horrible.
I gotta figure something out with that. Getting signed back up for physical therapy. Hopefully just some regular stretching and working that out will help. But it's not like it kind of aggravates it. It's just getting worse and worse and worse.
No, so, like, that was one of the things that really destroyed my back even further was the traveling back and forth from Charlotte to Virginia. Virginia to Charlotte, like, God, 5 hours in a car will definitely do it to you.
Yep.
I mean, an hour in a car does it. 5 hours destroying it. So
when I get out at work in the morning, I'm doing the old man climb out of my car and, like, you know, wobbling to my desk, and then sitting at the desk doesn't work that well. By the time I get home, you know, trying to be like chipper and chip in, help with dinner and smile in the face. But all I want to do is lay flat on the couch and not move.
I used to commute from Newport News to Richmond every day.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. But I made a game out of that, and I see how fast I could actually do with commuting. And trust me, with Waze on, and you get a nice little flow going of weaving in and out of traffic. I think my record was like, I think I did in 40 minutes one time
Oh wow, yeah. That's nice.
Now, that being said, you might be able to beat that record now, because since COVID, the flow of traffic on 64 stays over 80.
Because they raise it to 70 down there, and then everybody always goes 10 over in Virginia. That's the law.
Yep. So, like, if you got your ways and you could squeak out a pretty steady 95, bro, you'll make it under 40 minutes.
Trusting people reporting those cops and go.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's about it for me. Nothing too exciting. Just living the dream.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, cool. Personal life for us, just been chilling. It's really weird. I said this before, like being able to relax. Like, I've gotten lazy. I don't get up at 5:30 or 4:30 in the morning anymore. I'm more like a roll out of the bed at 7 o'clock. But
I wish
I don't have to be at work until 9 or 8:45. So it's like every now and then I have to go in a little early, 8:30, something like that. I think I had like 2 meetings over the next month where I have to be there by like 8:15, and I'm only literal 7-minute drive from the house.
That's perfect.
5 minutes coming home. Like, I think I found a route where I could bike once the weather gets nice and I'm not going to sweat too much. Yeah. So it's going to be nice. Other than that, like, so we had our first date night of the year. Ooh. Like, just us planned date night, because we decided that we're going to get on. We decided a while back we were really committing to doing like a us night once every 3 weeks or something like that, where we just, you know, spend a little bit more money than we typically would and do something fun. And it's kind of like that preparatory phase. Like, if we get into this habit now, then if and when we do have children, then
we start sitters. That's the
stick
tough
to one. It. Yeah. Oh, they have 2 aunts and 2 and grandparents in the area. Yep. So.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
Yeah. And a ton of cousins that'll hopefully. Anyway. So
yeah,
we're prepping for that. And then
I said the only problem that we have with our family is, like, a lot of times we have date night. It's like for work functions. But since my parents are so prominent in the community as well, they're usually going to that too.
Yeah.
So it's like,
well, and like, that's the thing with her parents, with her dad not retired yet, it's gonna be tricky. Now sisters, they're at that age where they have their own life, but they'll definitely step in.
Yeah.
But we're kind of in the same boat with her parents, so I completely understand that.
Well, Chris, once your kids are old enough to wipe their own butt, I will watch them whenever you want.
Phenomenal. We have a guest bedroom that I'm currently in.
But I don't do butt wiping anymore.
I'm trying not to do that much either. They're gonna learn real quick. I'm like, look, we got a level here.
You got 3 years of it for each child, I'll tell you that.
Yeah,
much.
You got a solid. I'll try to do
Irish twins. That way we can like get it all done in 4.
Yep. And then sometimes when they're like, you know, 5, almost 6, they'll like revert back because they get jealous of the new baby and they're like, pay attention to me, I shit my pants. You're like, oh man, that'll happen. I mean, I hear you, but I know you well enough, Chris. Especially if you have girls, you're gonna be such a pushover. You'd be great. You'd be a great dad. They're gonna go out and murder somebody. You're just gonna snuggle up with them and be like, "It's okay, baby. You did a good job.
I'm so
proud of you." Right? Yeah. Let me go get the shovel. We'll take care of this.
Show on Amazon. It teaches how to take care of this.
Yep. Yeah. In fact, you go to sleep. Netflix. Tell me where it's at. I'll take care of this.
Other than that, like, so we got a switch. I don't know if I mentioned this before, but we got a switch for the wedding. So my, like, went on our Amazon, like, I put ridiculous stuff on there hoping people would just contribute to our honeymoon fund, as I've said many times. And somebody gave us a switch, OLED. So
yeah, those hurt, man. When you get a switch when you're a kid, I mean, that's
So we've been spanking all weekend.
Wait, are we talking about a Nintendo Switch?
I thought you wanted to stick out back that grandma used to get.
Tell you, so the most like off the wall thing we got was this deck of cards, right? And you open this deck of cards and you flip it over and it's like, your thing to do tonight is to have fun with the other by putting honey down there and going to town. And like, it's got all sorts of suggestions.
From your mother-in-law, never, right?
That's from her aunt, which is just as bad, right? Oh,
how to get a yeast infection 101.
Bacteria love sugar. Just dump it all over.
Put some chocolate syrup down there. See what happens.
I didn't say who was doing the licking.
Hey, look, what y'all do with your cats is that's on you. don't bring that on this show. I don't want to hear it.
Anyway, Chanel has been all into Zelda Breath of Wind whatever.
Yeah.
There we go. I haven't actually really jumped into it yet, but I did get Pokemon. I got Sword and Shield, Sword and the Sword and Shield collection. I didn't get the new one because everybody's complaining about it. So
I want to be the very best.
If y'all ever slip into Fortnite, let me know.
We might venture into the mission.
I'll go that route.
I own it. I don't think I've ever played it, but I have it. It's free.
It's pretty addicting. Yeah.
Okay.
My nephews are all on it. So anyway, that was our weekend. Like,
cool. All right.
My well, guys, pretty dope.
Guys, ready to jump into these chapters?
Yeah. Almost. Not crazy exciting, but like I thoroughly enjoyed these chapters.
Okay.
Well, yes. I'll say for not having like massive action, I really enjoyed them. So yes, I am ready. Yes, I'm excited.
Okay. Good stuff. Cool. All right. Chapter 11, an oath.
On my honor, I will do my best to do my duty to God and my country to help other people and obey the law of the pack.
Yeah. So let's see. Where do we start? We start with, like, I guess one of the attendants coming in to wake up and dress Egwene. And it's just Egwene's not in a grumpy mood. She can wake up the wrong side of the bed.
She's been having these headaches. She's late tired.
Yeah.
And she's been doing the dream rest, which isn't full. It's rest, but it's not full rest.
Yeah.
You know, it's wearing on her.
Yeah. It's I can imagine. Like, if you get like all REM sleep, like no deep sleep at all, and all you did is dream all the time, you'd be so exhausted.
That's Chanel.
I'm only living two lives. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good tough.
I was just talking to Meredith and the kids the other day. For some reason, we got on the what's the longest you've gone without sleep. And I did a solid 3 days in a row, plenty of caffeine and nicotine. Both times in the military, one in training, and then one out on a mission. And anyways, past the two-day mark, even with caffeine, even with nicotine, I don't know about other drugs and how they help you get through that. But I know past the two-day mark, it's you start losing your mind, and at the 3 day mark, it's not drunkenness. And I haven't really dabbled in other drugs to compare it, but you definitely hallucinate. You
start hearing voices.
The voices that are normally in your head sound like they're on the outside.
Side screaming at you. Yeah.
I've been there. Really. So, and I know this isn't exactly what Egwene's going through, but that's what I was thinking. If she's constantly doing this dreamwalker sleep and it's not sleep, maybe it's not the 3 day mark, but what about a week? What about 2 weeks? Eventually it's got to wear on you because the brain's got to rest.
Yeah. I think it was like 3 or 4 days in college one time. Like, it was college. It was during like cramming for something, like end of year paper or something like that. And like, I was procrastinated. And just ended up just staying up.
Until, I'm just Let me learn this it. Entire course in 2 days.
Yeah, in 2 days and just stay up and just lots of caffeine, lots of no-dos, just like, just.
And when real people talk to you at like echoes and delays, yeah.
And then everything's just speeds fuzzy. Up
and then slows down. It's everything.
The sun's really bright.
Oh,
it hurts.
Yeah. Avoid the sun. If you're in that situation, avoid it.
Do not go outside.
And if it's a full moon, you might want to avoid that too. Just
yeah, it might be too bright. No, it's a anyway.
So Egwene is struggling.
She's struggling. She walks over to her study and is told that Faolaine and Theodren, that no one saw told by them that no one saw Marigan leave, although some men remembered seeing Halima. We know who Halima is.
Which somebody should check into that, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That would be what I would do. I'd be like, oh, what was Halima doing?
And they seem really sketch. Theoden and Faolaine seem really sketch. Like, they're just nervous.
Yeah.
I wonder why.
Mm. And, what? Well, there's reason to be, at this point, you know, before we know what happens. Like, they were the ones raised to Aes Sedai, along with Elaine and Nynaeve.
Yep.
So, and we already know that there's plenty of Aes Sedai that kind of roll their eyes at that. They're not happy with it. So, right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They don't exactly got it easy, but they got a connection here with Elaine or Egwene. So, let's see how this plays out.
Yeah. And this is, I think, around the same time when Egwene makes them swear their oaths, right? Is it right in the same scene? Like, right after they're done talking? Yeah.
Yeah. That's how it wraps
up. Well, she doesn't really make them swear their oaths.
She asks for their fidelity, for their oath. But
Wait. Does she, or do they offer it?
They offer it.
I think in this situation,
okay, it's the later ones. Sorry, I read this last week.
Yeah. No. So that's fine. fine because I think it even catches Egwene off guard a little bit.
It does, yeah.
Because she's like, "Wait, they're swearing to me," sort of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Normally, I would wait like Chris and Ian to read these like the day before, but I knew that I was going to be busy this early part of this week, so I read them like right afterwards last week, and now I realize why I wait. Yeah, that's not fresh anymore. And things started to jumble together already. at least little details. Let's see.
Are we going to dig into like what they talked to Egwene about?
Let's do it.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't know if you're trying to rush past that. Is this fresh on your brain, Chris?
I'm opening my book now to make sure I don't miss anything because you know how it gets.
It's juicy. I think what I'm most excited about while you're finding it is I at least felt, now it's always possible that these girls are scheming. And even Egwene kind of thinks about this. Are they really being honest? Are they scheming? Oh, well, got to trust them sort of thing. But the communication here seemed to be pretty good. And considering how much we complain about that, whenever we get a scene where people just kind of open up and they're honest with each other, it's very refreshing. So these two girls might be up to no good in shenanigans, but the way they opened up with, look, Egwene, to tell you the truth, I can't fucking stand you. Like, you're my least favorite person. And if you died in a fiery car wreck, I'd be like, thank Jesus. But hopefully, since I told you that, you can trust me when I say.
Well, and even prior to that, when they were talking about the little snooping they did, they were like, Tiana wanted to know why we were up so late. But we didn't tell her. We want you to know that we're on your side.
Right. Yeah. So it could be a little setup. You know, because they're plotting, but I don't know.
I mean, they keep, I wish I had the oath rod already. Like, that was the prevailing thing. Like, we want you to know that we're not lying to you, that you can trust us. And I like kind of Egwene's dialogue and the inner monologue of, you know, even if we had the oath rod, I think I would trust you less.
Yeah. This whole Aes Sedai can't lie thing, they worse than lie. They tell a truth that makes you think, that makes you believe something that's not true. Mm-hmm. It's like manipulative truth telling.
Yeah, and then you have the whole entire other Aja that can just lie. Right. And everybody assumes they can't lie, but they can flat out lie. So it just screws everything up.
But at least I think, like what Chris was saying, Egwene's perspective on this is good. She's like, one, what good is the oath rod?
Yeah.
Because of Black Aja, what good is it? It doesn't really help me recognize friend from true foe.
She even went even deeper. She's like, you know that little tapping on the wrist? You should have got a spanking when you came back to Tarvalon after running away. Like, you didn't get punished enough.
Yep.
So, I mean, just put it all out there. This. Yeah, I like the blunt honesty.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, look, I don't like you, but here's the thing. You're in that position, and I respect that position. So here we are. To serve you. I mean, I like it. Pissed by a lot of things. We're still doing this extra training to become real Aes Sedai. Mm-hmm. Blah, blah, blah. But it's shady how everybody's kind of working behind your back. You're the Ammerlin. We're going to serve you.
Yeah.
I like it.
I mean, even her maidservant was like, you're kind of slothish. You're still sleeping. I can't believe you're not ready to go. I can't believe you're going to wear that clothes and not these clothes. Like, everybody around her is just doubting her capacity. And our capabilities.
Yeah. Or just straight up trying to manipulate her.
Yeah. Or actually just straight up manipulating her. Or like disregarding her status. So it really is embarrassing. So then, you know, these two come out and they're like, you know, we you are the Amberlynn seat. Like, that's it. And, yeah, you know, we see what's happening. Direct quote, we can see what's happening. Some of the sisters think you're Shiryu's puppet, but most believe you're Ramonda or Lalani's, and that they tell you where and when to step. It is not right. I left the tower because of what Elida did wasn't right. They raised you to Amberlynn, so I am yours. If you will have me, if you can trust me without the oath rod, you must believe me. And yeah, she's like, internally, she's kind of giggling at all. She's like, is this a joke? Like, are they serious?
Yes.
Yeah.
But again, so, all right. So they give the oath, right? And then let's skip after that, where they're like, okay, and now because of the things I said to you, because you're Amberlynn, like, I need to be punished. So do you want to come up with a punishment, or should I just punish myself? And that thought never crossed Egwene's mind. That's why, mm-hmm, I think from the reader perspective, it was refreshing, the same way it was for Egwene. She's been surrounded by all these people that she has to sift through what they're saying to actually figure out what they're getting at or what their angle is. So even though these people just insulted her, like you said, Chris, she was kind of laughing internally. Like, she didn't recoil and like act insulted, because she just appreciated the honesty. So she's like, I'm not gonna punish somebody who just told me the truth. That's stupid.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But I got some jobs for you.
Mm. Yep. Yeah. And sends them on the tasks. And that's how we end this scene. Before Swan shows up.
The only question I have, and we're really just going by vibes here, but Chris, do you think they're plotting, or do you think like everything they said is 100% true and they're just frustrated with the situation? They think it's bullshit the way people are treating her, so they want to, you know, have her back.
I really think they do have her back.
Yeah.
I'm kind of there on this one. Like, if they were plotting, I feel like they wouldn't have gone out of their way so much.
Yeah, and there were no hints in the text. It's not like they said something, but then Egwene noticed like a weird look in their face or a twin.
No, the weird looks were when they were hesitating and beating around the bush about getting to the oath and what would need to be said.
Sure.
She's like, come on now. Let's get this taken care of.
Yeah, okay. That's really the only question I had from it. And I kind of feel the same way. I feel pretty good about their intentions at this moment.
Yeah. Sure. So Swan shows up, arrives late, complaining about Eldeen or whatever, the actual Eyes and Ears that shows up from the Blues. Because, you know, Swan had a purpose. You know, she had taken over all that network. And then actually the person shows up that was the person who ran the network. It's like, yeah, you did it all wrong. Let me take back over. You're not important. Go back to doing whatever you're doing.
Yeah. Remember initially when Swan came back, she like that was the only reason that kind of kept her in the circle.
Right.
We're really on the edge of the circle. If she didn't have that, she wouldn't even have been on the edge of the circle.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, she's trying to hold on to that desperately.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the plot thickens. Nothing too surprising here.
Right. Yep. Yeah, I mean, and she's coping with her place in the hierarchy. I mean, that's the big thing here is that, you know, you've gone from being in a position where normally Amberlynn stay in office till they die. So mm-hmm. you've gone from HBIC to nothing to kind of something because you had the power back, but not really full power. So it's kind of like, you're still, whatever. Just go over there, Swan. We don't care.
Okay, but we also find out things in these chapters that the Amberlynn, so they have access to the records that not everybody has access to. Mm-hmm. So they have knowledge about the history of the Aes Sedai that nobody else has. So in Swan's position, even when she wasn't able to channel, like, why wouldn't you keep her as an advisor in the inner circle? When I found that out, that kind of, I was like, all right, these, every now and then the Aes Sedai do something and I'm like, yeah, that's smart. These people good. And then they do a lot of things where I'm like, that's dumb. Why, you know? And that just made me think about how dumb they are. Like if I was in any sort of leadership position, really doesn't matter the reason. If there's somebody that has knowledge that I could use and could possibly trust, like I would keep them close. I would at least give them the opportunity to give more information or more insight.
But sometimes it can undermine your authority too. If the person that used to be in charge is still around.
Depends on your leadership style and abilities and how you play it, but I would find a way, even if they're locked in a prison cell and every now and then you go and talk to them about certain topics, something, but you use that resource. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would think.
Agreed.
Yeah. Anywho.
And then Morel shows up. She arrives and Egwene realizes she has a hold over her because of, Shirium has revealed about the Aes Sedai, had sent rumors about the tower and stuff like that. So I had this little scene with Morel, who we'll have more with Morel later. But
well, I mean, even before this, like she tells, what's her name pops up? Good Lord. Her name won't come to my mind.
Shirium, Swan, no, Leanne.
Swan shows up and she has a nice little conversation with Swan. And then she's like, hey, go get my horse. We're going to go on a ride. Mm-hmm. And then Homegirl pops up and she's like, hey, you don't run away. I see you. Come back here. And she's like, but mother, I have to. No, you don't, bitch. You're riding with me today.
Yep. Yeah. So anything with this short interaction before they go to go meet with Gareth?
I think it was very surprising that Swan called the wise ones wilders with kind of a almost disgusted and disdain. Yeah. Yeah, like the wise ones are well beyond her knowledge in the dream world, and who knows how strong they actually are.
Right.
And just because they didn't do things the way you would have had them do doesn't mean they're not just as good, if not better.
But they weren't tower trained and they channel, so they're wildlings. Like that's the only category Swan has in her brain for.
Yeah, but she said it with disdain, not like, oh, poor women, they're wilders. Like, ugh, wilders, which surprised me. I was like, Swan, really? You literally come like from a fishing background. You're a blue collar worker.
I mean, that's what it was like going to William and Mary. You know, when somebody told me how they struggled through organic chemistry, and I'd be like, what school did you go to? And they were like, UVA. And I was like, that bullshit.
I do that to William and Mary. They say they didn't go to CMU.
The worst one I saw was Adam's friend, our friend Adam from William and Mary, his friends, because they all went to Georgetown Prep, Preparatory Academy.
Oh, yeah.
That's where he went to high school. And all those guys went Ivy League. So the fact that he went to William & Mary was such a luscious school because they all went to Yale, Harvard, you know, like, and I went to go hang out with all of them and they were so pretentious about it. Like, William & Mary.
You've been trained, but you weren't actually trained. Not at that.
Get out of your school.
Yeah. It's like you paid 4 times what I did for the same piece of paper I got.
Yeah, I'll say then I got in the real world and it was like, it doesn't even matter.
Who was our teacher in high school that had a Harvard certificate and like he would always brag about it? And
oh, I can teacher, picture his face. Yeah.
He had a fight with the coffee machine. That's all I remember about him.
Yep. And that's all I remember. He fought that thing. And this was before Office Space. Like they probably wrote that scene about him.
Yeah, I mean he was like all cut up. Like he came back from the nurse, like with Band-Aids, and like what happens? Like a guy to fight the coffee machine. Like I was like, what?
PC load letter. What the fuck does that mean?
Mr. Willingham?
Mr. Willingham.
Yeah,
he did Model UN, didn't he?
He did, yeah. Did Model United Nations.
That's what
it went to. IHOP, went to IHOP, and all I remember is I think we might have been either drunk or doing something else, and it went to IHOP, and he ordered pancakes with dried nuts, and all I remember I think it was you. It's like Mr. Willen has dried nuts, and like it just
yeah, it was great.
They have that really?
I don't know.
They probably don't know.
He made some comment about his nuts being dry, and I was not going to let that go.
This is years and years ago, so who knows?
Yeah. I had quality back in the day.
Yeah.
So, although, still, when people go to IHOP and order the steak, I'm like, the fuck's wrong with you? What are you doing?
Waffle House order steak.
Yeah, right.
So the time I went to Denny's and I ordered the chicken because I didn't want to have breakfast. And it was half cooked. Like literally they only cooked one side.
Because they don't know how to cook it. They're like, shit, nobody's ordered this in
really raw. Years. I took one bite and I was like, this is really chewy. I looked down and like the other side's completely raw. Not even, it hasn't even touched the pan. Like, it's like, that's gross. Denny's.
The level of anger.
All American.
I'm not good at a restaurant. If you bring me something that is wrong.
Oh, and I don't get hangry. Did they try to make me pay for it? And I got like really upset. I was like, no, I'm paying. I didn't eat it. I sent it back. He's like, well, do you want something else? Like, no, I don't have an appetite now. Like, I don't want to eat.
Absolutely.
I don't want to eat. Look, I'm not eating at this establishment. Like,
I made a girl of B-dubs cry. Like, she thought I was like corporate management. Like, how do you not know your specials? And I start rattling them off. Go ask your manager if you have them. She comes back. You're right. We do have those. What about your drink? Well, first it was drink specials. You're right. You do have those. All right. What about your wing specials? What's your special sauce? I don't know. I have no idea. Go ask your manager. This is what it is.
Dang.
You're right. Oh my God. Are you? Yeah. I was.
Chris, I wouldn't picture that with you.
Yeah. No, I'm not. When it comes to service, if you come into my branch, I'm going to give you, you know, great service. You came to any one of my jobs, you're going to get great service. So when I'm spending money, there's my trigger. When I'm spending money, I expect great service. And if you don't provide me with great service, I'll give you a chance to fuck up. I'll give you two chances. But on the third, then I'm just going to have fun with you.
We go have a conversation.
I'm still going to give you a good tip, too. I'm just going to have a lot of fun with you.
You'll probably you start speaking side remarks like, oh, I remember my first day working.
oh, you guys.
This girl wasn't here like her second week. Yeah. I feel bad a little bit, but.
So
I started having too much fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, go ahead.
Egwene starts having fun with our friends. She's like, hey, Muriel, you're going to ride with me. And that's when Gareth Bryn shows up and he's like, I need you to see some things.
Yep. And he's, but then also a bunch of Aes Sedai are now all around them because I guess it's Romanda and Lelaine. They interrupt to complain about Delana, who wants a hall to condemn Elida as Black Aja. Like, there's like a bunch of like stuff going on the side.
It's you just got like a worded conversation going on, and everybody's trying to pretend they don't see it. And...
Yeah, they're trying to convince, I guess, the hall to condemn Elida as Black Aja, and like they're like, no,
it's not the way to go about it. Everybody here has read the Crucible. We know about the Salem witch trials. Yeah. The Inquisition. Yeah. You don't just announce.
Inquisition.
Some people are possessed by the devil, and I'll know it when I see it. And then somebody sneezes, and you're like, devil! Cover them in leeches! What? Yeah, drill a hole in their head. They sneezed.
I love Egwene's answer to their back-and-forth bickering. So they're just going back-and-forth about this, that, and the other, and how she should do this, and how she's like, when you've decided what I should say, then I can decide what to do. And they're like dumbfounded.
Clearly, y'all don't even got this figured out, you know.
Yeah.
Argue about it somewhere else and then come talk to me.
Like absolutely dumbfounded. And Gareth Bryn steps in real smooth. He's like, shall we go, mother?
Yeah, got something to show you.
I like so listening to this in audiobook form and then hear them bickering back and forth. I literally just got lost in the bickering and then just quit. I feel like that's how Egwene felt. She's like, God, here they go again. My head already hurts. I have too much to deal with. And then we have these two whining and complaining. All right, you two figure it out. And when you figure it out, you let me know. That's your task. Like, I'm out of here.
Yeah. I'll do that with the kids sometimes.
I would have commanded it. Yeah, it's my command that you stay in this bubble until you have worked it out and figured out what you guys are going to do as a team to make this happen.
Yeah. Sometimes all the kids will be bickering and fussing and I try to let them work it out. Sometimes I'll intervene because I'll hear it. I'm like, all right, this conversation needs to be nudged in a certain direction. So let's encourage them to, you know, speak to each other respectfully as they work it out. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they come up to me and everybody's shouting their version of the story at the same time. And I already determined like it's not that big a deal and I don't care. And I'll just be like, sounds like y'all just need to go downstairs and figure this shit out by yourself because I don't care. Y'all could choose to not play together anymore, or you could work this. I'm tapping out. I'm done with it.
Yeah,
that's what I felt where Egwene was here. Just like, I don't even care.
Exactly. And then she asked Gareth to go over the plans for, you know, how are we going to handle Tarvala and what are they going to do with the army? You know, and, you know, he talks about how he's going to handle the siege. So the biggest thing is the harbors. And we all know how important the North Harbor is.
Yeah. Yeah.
South Harbor is important too.
People I was gonna don't, say, people don't ignore South Harbor.
Yeah. Don't ignore South Harbor. He brings it up. No. He says, you gotta worry about both of those. You know, otherwise you're not going to get very far with the,
Yeah, and you have to give immediate attention to the harbors, but you also don't just go like full on attack thrusting right off the bat.
Yeah,
you gotta, you know, you get there, kind of like ease into it and lower their defenses, and then
it's a subtle process. Maybe some honey, maybe a little honey. Yeah. North Harbor, just a little tiny bit, not too much. So what do you think about Gareth's plan? Consider that no one's ever been able to take Tarvalon.
I mean, this is a broken Tarvalon. So he's going to be able to do it.
You think so?
He's got Aes Sedai on his side.
Yep.
And I mean, if Egwene is smart, which we know she's not, but she should reach out to Rand and be like, hey,
I think that's gonna be some backup. I think that'll be part of taking Tarvalon.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
I think there'll be some working with either the Ashaman or with Rand directly.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be Ashaman. Like I hate to say it because that's gonna set a bad precedence, but at the same time, we're not gonna see the Dark One defeated without men and women both working together. So
yeah.
In my opinion, at least.
Yeah, and I mean, to the Harvard point, like he mentions, I mean, the thing about a siege is you have to cut them off from food. That's how a siege works.
Starve them.
And if the harbors are open, they're going to be able to still get food in. Like,
yeah.
So
that's why Artur Hawkwing failed.
Yeah.
He didn't complete the siege. So,
yeah. You gotta cut but off, also, our Aes Sedai now, they know how to travel and skim and all that jazz. So, you know, that's a definite advantage. You know,
they can get in and out of the storeroom and steal all their food and get out. That's what I would do. I'd burn it all from the inside out.
You can send special forces like it behind enemy lines with that kind of technology. Like
that's what I would do.
Yeah,
I would teleport in, just set a fire and teleport out.
Yeah, open it up, shoot a fireball, close it, go back.
Yeah, that would be the move. Yeah. I wonder if anybody thought about that.
Sure.
Actually, yeah, the way Egwene traveled with Lan, she didn't get out with him. She just opened it up, let him leave, closed it, and then went back.
Well, so, she did get out, but
did she get out?
Didn't have to.
Okay, right. I guess in my mind, this was it. Didn't have to. So, like, can't you just open up and go, pew, pew, and then close, and then head back?
Yeah, you should be. Hypothetically speaking, as long as you knew where you were going, you should be able to.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'd do.
I'd let a bunch of Trolloc in.
Yeah. You can fight a battle from miles away.
So it's important to note when she asked Gareth Bryn about this, he was kind of taken aback and even said, he was like, wow, like nobody's actually asked me about this before.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and maybe this is where they start to make their connection and he starts to have a little bit more respect for her as a leader.
Yeah.
I mean, they definitely make a connection. They give each other little googly eyes and a couple side winks. And and then Gareth Bryn's like, I just want you to know, we're not here fighting for, you know, the Amelin per se. We're fighting for you as the
Amelin. Right.
We're fighting for Egwene Alvir.
She's collecting pieces and pawns and knights and rooks. She's collecting everybody.
She is
not the Amelin. I wonder
what triggered that. Egwene was that Swan's doing, or
I'm telling you, she's Tavirin. This whole only the boys are Tavirin. Even Jordan. Tavirin. That's probably the biggest hole in his writing so far, is insisting that it's only the boys. And then even when they're so far apart, like the pattern still pushes and pulls and tugs and wraps itself around Nynaeve at times, but certainly Egwene. I mean, think about
she's Amelin's seat.
Think about everything she's been through and how it shaped her perfectly to be what she needs to be in what situation. And come on, if you look that up, look that up in the dictionary and try and find one word to describe it, and it's Tavirin. Although maybe Alan's playing the long game with us, and maybe the trouble is, we only have female Aes Sedai that are able to recognize Tavirin, and maybe they can only recognize men. But maybe there's later in the books, there's male Aes Sedai that have that ability to recognize Tavirin, and they only recognize the female Tavirin. So maybe they end up being Tavirin, and we just didn't know this whole time.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, and then Gareth's like, yeah, well, if you don't like the plans, come over here. I got to show you something. And that's how we end this chapter.
Hey, check this out.
You check this out.
Has our other Aes Sedai started acting super nervous yet? Or does that get in the next chapter? The one that's about to get busted?
Morel?
Yeah.
Yeah, a little.
Single bead of sweat?
I think that's the next chapter.
Next chapter?
Yeah. Super nervous.
So, all right. Correct me if I'm wrong. This might take more Chris than Alan, because Alan didn't come prepared tonight. So Egwene and Swan, they don't know what they're going to see. They just know that something's up, right?
Correct.
Because when you listen to Morel talk and some of the other Aes Sedai talk, when they get there and everything unfolds, it's kind of like, oh, wow, you really know a lot. Like, you know everything. But Egwene and Swan are like, it seems like they're racing to put together what was actually going on up until the very moment that they discover it. Okay. All right. So I'm not losing my mind. I thought, like, I was like, did I fucking miss a chapter somewhere?
No, I thought the same way. So, but I think we're skipping ahead.
Yeah, I did. I skipped way ahead. Sorry.
Chapter 12, A Morning of Victory. Which, I don't know if there's that much of a, well, I guess it's a little victory. I guess kind of sort of, but. More importantly, the thing that Gareth Bryn wanted to show them was about Talmadas.
Oh, gosh. You know, that didn't even register for me. And I was about to say, why are you jumping straight to land? This show is just reaching all-time low. Talmadas. But at least he's actually in these chapters when you talk about him.
Yeah, he at least he's talked about. He's not actually there.
He's mentioned.
He's mentioned.
He's nearby.
He's nearby. Yeah. And Talmadas is concerned about Egwene things, and they're actually really upset with Gareth that they've been talking to Talmadas, because they viewed the Band of the Red Hand as Dragonsworn, and that they're just problems. And that they need to be dealt with eventually, and that we should be talking to them.
So It's crazy. So Gareth Bryn, obviously, he has experience dealing with royalty, and he has experience dealing with Aes Sedai. So I applaud him for him being able to keep his cool, but still make his points, but not try to, you know, die on any particular sword. He's just kind of casually like, well, you know, we're kind of camping next to 10,000 of these guys. I kind of figured it'd be a good idea to stop by and say hello. You know, and see what they're up to, sort of thing, which in reality is very true, whether he does it himself or sends emissaries or whatever. Like, you don't get these two factions camping next to each other and not communicate. That's a horrible idea.
Right.
But the Aes Sedai that's flipping out, is it the one that gets in?
That's Morel.
Yeah, Morel. She's being a royal. She's more pissed that he did it. I don't think it's just that somebody talked to the Dragonsworn. It's that, why would you do it? Like, that's clearly something we should be handling, or like, you know, who are you to go talk
to? The fact that she had the audacity to say something.
Yeah.
We have the Amelin right there. I was like,
yeah, I think
she's stepping out. She's trying to like sidetrack the conversation off of herself.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
100%.
Yeah, and Egwene knows the band's not a threat. I mean, it's Matt's army, and Egwene knows Matt and knows it's not a threat.
Correct.
But the other Aes Sedai doesn't know that.
She believes she knows Matt, and she believes he's not a threat.
Right, and she also believes the fact that she thinks that Matt. There's no way that Matt actually is really the general, because there's no way Matt knows anything about war.
Right. But she's slowly getting hints that there might be more to Matt. That's right. Why I add this. She thinks she knows Matt, but she's slowly figuring it out.
Yeah. And Matt's army, the band of the band, is growing as it sits there. Like more and more people are going over to that army. And that's a little worrisome for Bran, but he's, you know, it's just, you know, my army's grown too, but you know, it's how things will be here. You know, someone that says neutral is not going to win out. You know, they're going to pick sides. So people coming right by, see two armies, thinking they're about to square up, even if they're not going to square up. You know, it's better to pick a side than just stay neutral because then you don't get any of the spoils.
It's like when I moved to Alabama and I was like, hi, my name's Ian. I just moved here. It doesn't matter who I was talking to. The first question is Roll Tide or War Eagle? Got to pick one. Who are you rooting for? Auburn, Alabama. I went the longest time without picking, and that just made enemies on both sides. Like, they both hated me. So, you know,
yeah,
gotta choose.
You're all tied, or where are you?
It depends on who I'm around. If I'm around a bunch of Alabama fans, I'll go War Damn Eagle. And if I'm around a bunch of Auburn fans, I'll be like, Roll Tide. And then I bounce back to the Alabama fans, and I'm like, just 1 second. It's all you need. Just 1 second. Around some Auburn fans, be like, how's that tree doing? They're like, oh, too soon.
Get around some Falcons fans and say 28-3.
Yeah, right. It's about the same thing.
Good times. We learn about the size, you know, and Matt's reputation as well. And that's something that Egwene's kind of having a hard time dealing with, you know.
She's like, wait, least, my Matt? Really?
Yeah. Matt has they talk about, you know, Matt's luck, and that's the reason why they all join. Is that, you know, they fight for Matt's luck, and Matt, you know, he's the luckiest person, he never loses battles. They're like, what?
Wait, he fought battles?
And Merle just keeps on digging in, threatening him even more until Egwene finally just tells her, shut up. And then quietly he says, like, okay, can you not meet with him again, Tomanas, just to make people happy.
Pretty sure you know everything you need to know at this point. So
we're not going to do anything to you. We want you to leave it be. Like, it's
let's move on.
Yeah. We don't need any more of this. I can't imagine like why this chapter was an hour long on ebook. I was like, there's really not enough.
I only have one thing to talk about.
We're getting there. Yeah. Also, he tells her that Rand has gone and swear to Elida, but she's not able to say whether it's true or not.
Didn't she just say it's not true? And can I send some people your way to spread the word?
Yeah, Egwene knows it's not true. Right. She kind of laughs it off, very confidently knows it's not true.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she agrees to send sisters into the army camp to reassure the men there that it's not true. And that's when he tells her that the army will serve her until, you know, and that's when Gareth leaves. Says, yeah, we're here to serve you. And I think we talked about that last chapter a little bit. But yeah. And
quite literally, I'm here to serve you, not the hall, not definitely not Swan. Like, we're here for you. Got your back.
Especially after this ride, he's like, mother, the rest of the Aes Sedai are annoying the living shit out of me, but you're cool. So this bud's for you.
Yep. And then we get to the uncomfortable part that you're probably waiting for, because, you know, Egwene's curious. This, you know, Morel seems like she's hiding something. She's like super nervous. This is where
even Kristen sees a bead of sweat.
Yeah,
a single bead of sweat.
And Swan suspects something too. Like, they're all like, kind of like, what are you up to? Yeah. And then eventually they're taken to a tent, and lo and behold, there's Landsman Dragon.
And she tried to get away though. She's like, let's over there. There's a nice waterfall. Let's go to the waterfall. Let's avoid the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
She tries to
play it off right up into the bitter end.
Yeah,
I will say it was and it was supposed to be a little bit heartbreaking seeing Lan like this. You know, it's been a while since Moraine left us and Lan left the story. I think also I having watched
wasn't the heartbroken at all, if I'm being honest with you, like
He was a badass from the very minute we saw him.
Well, you don't think that he was, or you as the reader weren't?
I as the reader. I was like, gotcha. Lan, yay! And I remained happy because I could tell Lan, though he was a little different. He'd definitely been through some things. He was still the same old Lan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But like the way they describe, like it's even they were saying it's almost unfair. If a warder dies, that's something that the Aes Sedai grieves through, but generally they could get through and they can kind of keep it together. And then every now and then they cry on their own. But as a warder, if your Aes Sedai dies, like almost always they end up just charging into battle or, doing something that gets themselves killed.
Because away from your source.
Not just that, but the way it's described is like a big piece of them dies. Like they experience the death.
You get ripped away from Sidene.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So.
Am I saying the right one or Sidar?
Sidar.
Sidar. Yeah. Sidar. I said the wrong one. Yeah.
But to know.
You were connected through her to the one power.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But and
then you had that bond with her.
Mm-hmm. And not just her, with Moraine. I feel like. There's probably a lot of connections between Aes Sedai and Warder that are special, but I just feel like theirs was kind of one of those on a different level. Heck, maybe considering what Lan went through in his childhood and, who his family was and who he was supposed to be and what was going on, we'll probably find this out reading New Spring. But I would suspect that, it's possible Moraine saved Lan by bonding him in the first place. I mean, from whatever life he would have lived without her, just constantly fighting the blight and having nothing to live for with, most of his family gone and everything. So anyways, it was for me a little bit heartbreaking seeing this. Like I was happy to see him, and the way they described, like he just leaps out in his underwear, doing his sword forms like perfectly and swatting grasshoppers that fly behind him. And you're like, okay, still a badass, but the descriptions of the look on his face and everything. He's tortured right now.
Yeah.
He's struggling.
And Egwene's pissed because, passing a bond without consent, they attended to rape. I mean, it's like,
Swan's more pissed.
Yeah.
Egwene understands that Aes Sedai sees it as like rape and everything. And she's not pleased about it, but Swan is super pissed about it.
Yeah.
Well, it also doesn't help that it's her, best friend that did this to him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even make that connection, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. If you take it from the show standpoint, it's her lover that did it, but take it from the book standpoint, it's her best friend that she trusts the most that did this to him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And Egwene's a little more happy, at least I guess silver linings, when she learns that Morel intends to pass the bond to Nynaeve when Nynaeve's ready. A little bit of silver lining, but.
Yeah. Yet another moment where like, so this Aes Sedai was chosen because this Aes Sedai has experience with trying to recover warders or whatever we want to call this after their Aes Sedai are lost. So you would think this is the best place for them. But another example of like our Aes Sedai just not knowing what's best. And Egwene just seeing through it right off the bat and be like, oh, well, I know exactly what needs to be done here. Mm-hmm. Do you have the book open, Chris? Because the line that she gives about why she's sending him to Nynaeve, are you anywhere near that?
Yeah, hold on a second.
I would paraphrase and butcher it, but it was best line of these two chapters.
There's the part where I see you're working them hard. A warder isn't a
giggity.
Well, he's looking. We'll say most of y'all listening have read the book, so you know, but. Egwene makes a decision. Nope. Sending him to Nynaeve right now.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, he's not ready. And she's like, no, you don't understand. No. Like, ugh. I'll start looking if it doesn't pop out to you, Chris. Oh my gosh. It was so good.
Yeah. That's what she says. I mean, she comes to the idea. That's what he needs.
Let's see if you get it before I do. We're just going to have some, Alan, you can talk about Tamanis for a couple seconds.
Okay, yeah. So there's this guy named Tamanis that is amazing. He's so dreamy. And the way he has his head shaved, the full front of half of his head is shaved, and it's his Kyrian. Yeah. Also, during all this, this is when Niseo, I can't pronounce it right. She snaps at Swan, tries ordering Swan around, but is ignored during that whole.
There's one thing you have not been able to do. Give him a task so important that he has to stay alive to carry it out. That was the final element. Supposedly it worked better than the rest. To him, Nynaeve's safety is important. He loves her, Muriel, and she loves him. And then she's like, that explains. And then she starts to blush. Because clearly...
she did some other things with him.
Definitely did some other things with him to try to break him. And there's some legitimate rape there going on.
Yeah.
Including some biting and
oh, everything. Yeah.
Because at that point, like, Egwene looks at him and then she's like, is that a bite mark on the back of his neck and on his chest and his stomach? And where does that last one lead?
So this is how Nynaeve gets through her block. It's going to be the Hulk moment. And they're going to be like, how'd you finally learn to channel without being angry? She's like, that's my secret. I'm always fucking angry. somebody raped her man and bit his neck. Oh,
yeah.
She about to dice some people up.
Because it's not going to be gone in the 5 days it takes him to get from where he's going to where he will be.
Yeah.
Yep. I'll tell you what, though, that line, and you nailed it, Chris. Thanks for knowing what was on my mind there. Got to be able to give him a mission that, you know, is important enough to keep him alive, like recognizing that he's in this desperate state right now. And of course, nothing you're doing is working. You're trying to cater to him and he doesn't care enough about him at this point to stay alive. That's what he's battling. He's trying to find a reason to keep going. And all the reasons you're giving him are not going to cut it. And I don't know, not to get all depressive or anything, but there's certainly been times in my life where, like, you know, my getting up in the morning, my going to work, my putting one foot in front of the other had nothing to do with me. It was, you know, for kids or family or whatever. And we've all been there to some extent. So, like, I felt that, and I felt that for Lan. So I hope it turns out good. It could also be a giant cluster fuck when he shows up there with Nynaeve, but I do believe Egwene's right. This is enough to keep him alive at the moment, you know, at least give him a mission, give him a task.
Yeah.
Every single morning,
all men really need is a good task.
Yeah, every single morning of my life, the only reason I get up when I do is because of my kids.
Yeah, I feel you. Yeah, man.
I find that when my wife is awake and up, I get up a lot quicker.
Yeah,
it's like, no, I can't have that. If she's up, I'm up.
I find when my kids are up before my alarm goes off at 6 o'clock in the morning. I get up because I don't have a choice.
Gosh. Let me tell you, jump it back to personal life. The worst part of my schedule right now is when I get up to get ready to go to work, I get up a solid hour before everybody else. So my getting ready routine is just me. But I got to be extra quiet, you know, because Meredith's still sleeping, trying to tiptoe around, have that morning coffee. And as I'm going out the door, that's when they're just starting to wake up. So I didn't even see anything in the morning. And that's, that's miserable.
Yeah. My kids wake up super early. It's annoying, actually, this stage in life. But
she knows the alarm clock goes off super early.
Oh, yeah. Snooze button, man. Love it.
Oh, it's from 6 o'clock all the way to almost 9 o'clock.
Just keeps going.
I'm like, there was one night where I was like, cut it off. Like, cut it off. Like, I just want to sleep 30 minutes.
Before I had kids, now because I have babies in the house, I can't have it. I used to have an alarm clock that actually you have to, like, it's the only way I can get up. Like, I am the worst at waking up. Like, I'm probably like Chanel. Like, I will just, I'll subconsciously turn off alarms. Like, and don't even remember
going off, but you turn your ears off towards it. So you don't even hear it.
And it's, I wake up and it says missed alarm. Like, I was like, oh, I guess it went off. But yeah. But there was, there's one they have, it actually runs away from you. Like, you have to catch it.
That's awesome.
Like, it's actually mobile. It goes off your shelf and goes to the floor and starts running around the room, like rolling around the room. You have to go catch it.
Oh, it's, I can't do that because I can't do that because I own guns. And I got one right next to where I sleep, and I would not get out of bed.
Practice, target practice.
Any holes in the floor? You send it back to the company, be like, yeah, it broke. They're like, there's a 9mm round in here.
Now, I will say, back in my old townhouse, I had a digital thermostat. And I'm one of those weird people that I can tell when it's off by 2 degrees in my apartment. Really, a degree, yeah. And I can tell.
I feel you. Yeah.
But if it's 2 or 3 degrees hotter, I am awake and I am angry. I'm like, why is it so hot in here? Why am I sweating? Not really sweating, but I feel like I'm sweating. Yeah. Like, yeah. It went from 66 to 69 in here. Arr! Or 63 to 67.
At 69, I always get you riled up.
Yeah it's like, always. It's like, so like, that's why I don't understand how people do Celsius. Do you have like point something on there? Like for the rest of the world, it's not American.
One degree adjustment, that'd be a lot.
It's a huge difference. So like 22 degrees Celsius is 69 degrees Fahrenheit to 72. That's a huge difference, guys. Like, my thermostat to 69 to 72, like that's fighting and just fine. There's.
I could sleep at 69 and below, but over 69, I will not fall asleep.
Oh no,
but I'll be miserable.
Is there like a 22.5 or 0.3 or like how does that work? I need to.
Yeah, we need an answer. Those of you that are in the white, like how do y'all do it?
Yeah, because that's not acceptable. Unacceptable. Yeah, advantage of the imperial system. Yeah, I don't know how they do it because it's a huge difference. Where are we? Because now I'm stuck on Celsius.
We're calling Mandarb over, and she's getting ready to skeet him across the world.
Yeah, yeah. So get that. Now, before that, there's something else. Yeah, this is when Egwene tells Lan that Nynaeve's in danger and Emhadar needs some protection. He agrees to go immediately, like no hesitation at all. Like, okay, I'll go.
I love her and I miss her. It's time for me to go.
Yeah.
He got all that extra booty. He's like, you know, I drove the Ferrari. It's time to get to the Volkswagen, the BMW. Like, the Ferrari was fun while it lasted. But
And Egwene gets a little confirmation. There's a look in Lan's eye when she says that Nynaeve's in danger and needs him, and he has like that, I don't know if it's a worried look or like a oh shit look or whatever, but there's a look he gives where she's like, okay, yeah, this is definitely a mission he's into. Yeah. That was good.
And this is also when Niseo and Morel are told that, you know, Lan loves Nynaeve and Nynaeve loves, and Niseo is just like, I don't believe that. Lan doesn't love anyone. Like, she probably loves him. Yeah, sure.
Yeah,
like,
everybody's tried to get some of Lan.
Yeah.
Shit, I tried biting him.
Five.
Yeah. But yeah, nah. He doesn't love her.
Little do they know.
Yeah, and Egwene's having none of it. So she's like, nope. And said, in fact, you know what? The extra lessons for Nicola, you're done. No more of that. We're done there. Starts ordering them around. Swan realizes that Nicola and Arnia must have discovered Lan and blackmailed the two Aes Sedai. So Swan's all pissed off. There's lots of stuff going on here.
Egwene's like, that's not new. They do that thing. What they do.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And Swan's response is like, so I guess we're gonna kill him. Okay.
Well, that was much later. Much later.
Yeah.
First we have the little moving land over.
Yeah. Then makes the gateway to skim over. Talk about how everyone has different platforms they make. You know, whatever.
She uses a wooden barge.
Yeah. And how it's the safest place to communicate with someone is actually on one of those skimming platforms, because unless you have the exact same weave, no one else can come there. Even a Forsaken can catch them there.
Yeah. And there's no way to get it perfectly the same.
Which is interesting concept. Yeah.
I think that's where we really catch on to the fact that by the way, it's almost like a light wave or a sound wave, like you gotta be on the same wave. But anyway, where we really see that Lan really is himself, he just doesn't want to be bothered.
Yeah.
Went through his sword forms and kind of showed off a little bit and, you know, sweat a little bit, had beads going, had the women fawning over him, but that was just because he didn't want to be bothered.
My favorite was when Egwene's like giving him all of his, like all the info he needs to know. And she's not sure if he's listening. She's like, Lan, are you listening? And he's like, yeah, yeah. Nynaeve at this house. Stubborn. Like I didn't already know that.
The queen.
Yeah.
So like stubborn as if I didn't already know.
Yeah. So he was definitely listening. Mm-hmm. That was.
I'll tell her everything she needs to know. You see, I listen. Yeah. Everything she needs to know. Not everything, but everything she needs to know.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He's like, five or 6 days, I can make it faster. She will be safe, I promise.
So how
I get you there right now.
I think Lan does the, he's not gonna run right in and be like, Nynaeve, I'm here. He's gonna stay incognito, he's gonna stay in the shadows, he's gonna learn as much about the situation as he can without being known, and he's gonna come in as like the rescuer. Like something's gonna go down and he's gonna bust out of nowhere and just chop, 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 chop,
chop, chop. That's well, he gives Egwene a good nugget right away. He's like, you have a hold on Muriel and Nassau now. Do not let them argue with you. By your command, mother, the watch is now done. Mm. He's like, I'm gone to do what I need to do to be the person I want to be with. You get these women in check.
Yep.
Like, so I love the confidence he has in her. He's like, I'm sorry for bringing you, come such a long way from Ebensfield. He's like, I feel sorry for you, but at the same time, you've grown a lot.
Yeah. And apologizes directly, like, for bringing them from Emmonsfield. Like, wish I never brought you. Wish I'd have left you there. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. This is your life now, but
yeah,
good luck.
Yeah. Yep. So drops Lan off. She returns. And when she gets back, Nyssa's threatened Swan. So Gawain's like immediately, he's like, okay, time to put the hammer down. And yeah.
And boy, does she. Whew.
She's like, all right.
She's like, you know what? Y'all are gonna swear fealty to me. Mm-hmm. No shortcuts, no roundabout ways. You are gonna get on your knees.
Well, yep. So at first she's like, all right, so how this should play out is I go back, we tell everybody, and even Swan saying, yeah, you're probably gonna lose your warders. That'd be a great punishment for what you did, blah blah blah. And Egwene's like, yeah, but that's a lot of hassle in that. So I could just not tell anybody. But then, man, I just feel like there needs to be something to balance that equation. What could possibly make you beholden to me? I know. Swear fealty to me. And even Swan's like, what? Everybody's like, what? And then one of the two Aes Sedai goes,
never done that.
Yeah. But you could tell the Aes Sedai that, like, truly loves her warders, because she didn't even think twice. She was like, hey, shut up, let's take this deal. Like, that's this is, I don't even know where we're arguing about this, let's just do it.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And they do, they reluctantly, but they swear fealty.
And on top of that, you have to treat Swan like you would treat me.
Yep.
Yeah. And you're gonna serve Swan whatever command she gives. It's as if it's coming from me.
But you don't tell nobody.
Right. Yet another point where Swan's like, what? Like, what?
Swan's like, I thought she hated me. We fought so much. Me, and Nynaeve, all of us, we fought so much, but you love me. You really love me.
She's like, I don't understand, but I like this. It's like,
yep. Yeah. And I guess it ends with, her going, on return, Swan tells Nicola and Arlan the previous blackmail attempt about that, and tells her not to have them killed.
That's where Swan is like, oh, seems like these two are about to have a little accident. To have a little whoopsie daisy.
Egwene's like, no. Egwene feels so bad. She's like, the fact that I understand what you're saying just shows how far I've gone.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
It's like, if we start doing that, where are we going to stop? Everybody I disagree with, I'm just going to have them offed. Like, no, we can't be doing that.
Yep. Look, she's like, and that's why the White Tower is so small now.
Yep. And then the last thing is she sends
White
them
Tower to... is small because it's winter and it's cold out and shrinkage is real. Okay.
Very true. Very true.
Have you not seen that Seinfeld episode?
Yeah.
No.
Yes,
shrinkage is real.
So at the very end, she sends them to go get Sherium and Morel and all the rest of the group and send them all to the Emerlyn study because she plans on making them all swear fealty. So she's like gonna make everyone swear to her. That's her thing now. She's like, all right. Yeah. Everyone, With a side note, bend the knee.
Yeah. Side note, like she concluded on the whole labeling Elida Black Aja. She's like, no, we're tabling that shit.
Yeah.
So plus bend the knee. I guess the bend the knee is more exciting. Sorry. Yeah.
But does she ever get to that point? Because we have Alima walk in.
That's her thought process in her head. I don't know if that's
Alima walk in too.
Alima walks in. She's like, hey, you look stressed. You look like you have that headache again. Have a seat. Stress caressing her body. Here we are, all alone in this room. Will we know about Alima?
So you're saying these head massages aren't actually relieving her. That's part of the control. No,
that's part of the mind control.
That's the Turkish delight.
Yes.
Because you can channel Sadin.
Yeah.
And she would not even know it.
Mm-hmm. Wouldn't know.
Not even know.
And he is manipulating her.
Dun, that's dun, crazy. Dun.
So we have the Amarlin being controlled by
a male Forsaken.
A male Forsaken.
In a female body.
Sure.
They, them, Shim.
Yeah.
Shim's doing it.
And like, you know, at the same time, running concurrently is her getting like this head massage to soothe her tension. We know that there's literally a fight going on right now that she should be attending to like shut things down. And yeah, she's kind of like drifting off to sleep.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. She's about to lose all control.
Well, she needs some sleep. So maybe that's a good thing. Maybe this Forsaken's just helping her out.
Yeah. Mm, sure.
Gosh, that's a slippery slope. So if she gets all these people to swear fealty to her, but then she's under the control of a Forsaken.
Who are they really serving? Who are they giving fealty to?
Mm-hmm. Sure enough. So it's always the masseuse.
Oh, look, they do wonderful things. I give them all my money. I don't have money.
They are magical.
Money.
They're magical. Yeah.
Well, I'm still working on getting the VA to cover a couple of those a month. So
yeah, my insurance used to cover therapeutic massaging, and it was amazing.
The one I had 2 months ago, dude, that was great.
Yeah, I went to a chiropractor that had on staff, a sports medicine massage therapist that liked a deep tissue, and it was amazing.
Have you had stripping before?
I've had the ones where they like climb all over you and like bend you in different ways to like really creak out different, like almost like chiropractic, but it's like
stripping is deep tissue times 10. Like they literally tell you, you will not be able to walk for a few minutes. Like you can't, and you will hurt for days. But all the things that it does to you. It
feels so good.
Come on, baby, make it hurt so good.
Anyways,
massages don't feel like they should, baby. Hurts so good.
Anyway, anything else from these chapters?
No, a lot of love for Lan.
Okay. Is that your favorite character?
Honestly, it might still be Egwene.
You would take the first one.
I will say Lan because y'all know me. I love me some Lan. If you're not sure how much I love Lan, listen to us on the Feather Mountain podcast. I confessed everything there.
Confessed your deep love for Lan and Dragorin.
Gosh, if I had Lan and Ahsoka Tano in the same room, I wouldn't know what to do. I would just, I'd be frozen. It'd be like trying to decide at the McDonald's dollar menu, like, what do I want?
I want it all. Good times. So, Lan's your favorite. Chris, are you going with Egwene?
Egwene is it. You know, I'm wondering when we're going to get another good Egwene chapter. Like, this next chapter is clearly not about Egwene. I want to know, is she being controlled?
How disappointing. Like, Egwene is really, it's not like she's rounding a corner like she was a bad character before, but her growth here is, like, starting to become exponential. So you're like, yeah. And then the head massage is coming in, and you're like, oh no. Like the timing could not be worse
or better.
Well, I don't know.
Depending on who you are.
Yeah, depending on which side
if
you're on.
The dark one, yeah. Like
it's great time. Yeah. So yeah. Well, next time we'll do in two chapters. Chapter 13 and 14, The Bowl of Winds.
She cannot catch a break. I'm sorry. She's literally been captured by the Sunshine, locked up. Like she has been manipulated after manipulated after manipulated. I'm gonna be so upset for her if I am right. And she's being manipulated again and being controlled.
The wise ones convinced her to ask for the ass whooping of her lifetime. That's how beat down she is.
And she keeps getting beat on. Either she's gonna be the strongest by the end, or they're gonna break her.
I don't know if she can.
I don't think she'll break.
She's ideal.
I do think, yeah, when she comes out of this, yeah. she's
pretty much IEL. I mean, she's not IEL, all but in name. Yeah, but
remember, she got that channeling that not a lot of female channelers have. She can fling earth and stuff. So,
oh yeah,
when she finally snaps out of whatever she's snapping out of, and she gets to take it out on whatever Forsaken's been messing with her. God help them. They're going to get buried under a mountain.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sure. So two chapters, 13, 14, The Bowl of Winds and White Plumes.
All right. Clouds? Someone is gassy and then they elect a new pope.
If it smokes, you know,
I think this first chapter is going to throw us completely off. They're not really going to find the Bowl of Winds at all.
Maybe
that used to be my trivia team name. If it smokes, it popes.
That's a good one.
Yeah. That's my trivia team name.
Chris, I wouldn't be surprised if they don't throw us for a loop. But at least it's got to be a Nynaeve Elaine chapter. I don't know if we're going to get our reunion with Lan this quick. Like I said, I think he's going to draw that out. Lan seems like the type to get the lay of the land.
We have and you're forgetting one other person, Avienda.
Oh yeah, and Matt.
Yeah,
all sorts of goodies could happen. Like this crew.
We're at this point where we're not gonna see Perrin again for a while.
Okay.
We're not gonna hear from Rand again for a while.
Okay.
And we're just gonna be sitting back. I think we're gonna get some really good Avienda chapters. I think we're really gonna finally get the point of view we want. And we're going to find out whether or not she really is pregnant.
Preggers.
Maybe that's the bowl of wind. Maybe like she gets, like you said, really bad gas from the baby. Now,
and it's going to be a baby boy. And this is going to be one of the things that requires male and female channelers. And they're trying to figure it out. And then the baby boy channels from her belly to help them work the bowl.
Mm.
That would be cool.
Interesting.
Rand's unborn son assists them in fixing the weather.
Okay. Interesting.
I'm not going with that theory, but
okay.
Steak dinner.
All right.
Steak dinner. I'll take you up on that one. Some really nice places around here if you don't know.
Oh yeah, there actually are. I got in trouble in Charlotte one time with a previous company because I tried to expense steak dinner there, and they said no. They got that expense report. They're like, no, like we're not paying for that. I was like, I'm going to try.
How about half of it? You must split it with me.
Exactly. I was on a business trip. You know, you didn't tell me what my per diem was, so I just went and ate.
And ate I really well. 6:48.
Eddie like, oh, see what happened. Good times. All right. Yeah, anything else before I go ahead and finish up? Wrap it on up?
No.
All right.
Lambeau.
Alan's favorite character is Tamanis. And yes. Wrap it up.
Yeah.
Lan better have wrapped
always,
it up.
Always. Yeah. Always. Did they have condoms back then? I guess they were. They probably did. I mean, they were
interesting. The sheepskin.
Sheepskin.
Well, I mean, like, yeah. But in Roman times, they didn't even have to use it because they had that. What was the name of the flower? Right, we talked about it in the podcast before. There's a flower that went extinct that the Romans had that worked as a contraceptive. Yeah. Anyway,
hey, we're saying skin, but we know it's really bladder and guts.
Yeah. One last thing. Chris, are you willing to co-sign on an honorable mention for Gareth Bryn?
Yes, actually.
I can't believe I forgot him. He was Joe Cool during this, but he was getting rained out.
He was like, yes, ma'am. Okay, sure. Yep. The whole time he's like looking at the countryside, like, damn, I wish you'd just shut the fuck up.
And it, like, the Aes Sedai in general are just kind of pestering him almost and undermining him, or at least they would if they could. But he just keeps driving forward, doing what he knows.
And not only that, he has increased the size of his army, made friends with the band, essentially. And has literally gotten thousands of swords.
Yeah. And then drops a nod to Egwene, be like, I'm here for you. For you. Yeah. So good, a strong honorable mention for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, how we can be found is at thewheelreads.com. Yeah. All links are there. Go check it out. Go to the website. That's where you find everything. You find our social media. You find Discord. You find Patreon, merch, all that fun stuff. Go buy our merchandise.
Silphium.
Cool. What'd you say?
Your plant, Silphium.
Silphium. Okay, cool. I was just trying to look it up too. Silphium. So that's if you want to look.
Y'all's assigned FBI agents are like, what the fuck are they looking up now?
My Google search is so weird. It's
I'm not important enough to have anybody assigned to me.
If they ever went through,
your friends with me and Alan. So trust me, you have your own FBI agent, Chris.
Yes. I know. I do. I mean, just because of relatives, but yeah. But anyway. Go check out our website and like everything. Go ahead and give us a review. You can review us on our website too, or on whatever podcast platform you listen to us on.
But remember what Grandmama says: if you ain't got nice to say, don't say nothing at all.
I like the bad ones better than the good ones. We've had a couple of good reviews recently, and I don't read those out loud because they're just kind of, I mean, thank you for giving us good reviews. Don't get me wrong, I just love the bad ones.
Yeah,
because it's fantastic.
Alan read us one kind of negative one, and when he finished, there was a little bit of silence, and Chris and I both went, well, they're not wrong.
at the same time, we don't care.
So he always eats ice cream. Well, you don't pay me not because
the ice cream is delicious.
Exactly. Yeah. You're paying.
How I like to finish my name.
Ice cream. What are you talking about?
Guys are unprofessional, too crude. Okay. That's with someone else. I don't care.
We're not professional. That's all I know. I do have a degree in communications. I guess I could be better about it all.
Right. Could we do better? Yeah. Maybe. Are we going to do better? It depends on what guests we have on that week.
I've taken many master degree level communication courses, and you know what I've discovered?
People aren't going to care one way or the other. They're going to still complain, say what they want to you. So why not?
Just be real.
Take the same approach and be real. The best thing you can be is yourself.
Yep.
Cheers. You don't like me?
Ian, why are you acting like a drunk alcoholic on the show? You're like, well, it's a low point in my life. That's how I'm coping. Okay.
I think one person actually wrote a review saying they're functional alcoholics, and I would give to the Patreon. I feel like you'll just go towards booze. And I was like, the only reason I'm offended by that is because I have my own job and I can afford my own booze without anybody else's. Exactly. That 100% spot on.
Have you looked at my LinkedIn page? I'm definitely the bomb.
Anyways, that's all I got for this week, guys.
Until next time.
Hold on, this whole functional alcoholic thing. We're gonna address this real quick. We are not functional alcoholics.
Yeah,
Beverage. Well, that too. We enjoy a beverage every now and then. We never claim to be functional.
Good point.
So
good point. Alcoholic, yes. Functional, no.
Peace.
Okay, bye.
I hope you enjoyed the show, and thank you for listening to The Wheel Reads. See y'all next time.